There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Another couple hours of live local talk coming your way. Things looking better out there. Clearance, cool down tonight, getting in the lower 50s tonight. A lot better after last night, which, by the way, we'll line up the show here in a second. The tornado, they're now talking about I think they had the signature. I don't know if they've fully confirmed, like, two tornadoes last night in Greene County, Mississippi. So across the line, wind gust up to 80 miles per hour for Mobile County. Must have been pretty significant for Baldwin County as well, seeing some of the pictures out of both. I know we had limbs down and West Mobile had some. Didn't see anything that looked like it was tornadic, but I have a coworker here who was showing me pictures, things at her house that were picked up from the backyard and put in the front yard. Now, I'm saying that maybe I need to talk to staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams to find out. I mean, straight line winds, I guess, could blow it hard enough that lift it up and go over, but it is interesting to see big things kind of picked up and moved to another side of a home. But a bumpy night last night, and I see pictures coming in here where people have had all kind of things knocked over, even lawn furniture. I know the gravity of that from last night's storms. But things are better this week. Looks a whole lot better. We'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up at about 12:35. Also coming up a little after 12:35, Congressman Mo Brooks running for Senate, as you know. He's going to join me. If you have a specific question for the candidate for Senate, Congressman Mo Brooks, please text that in. We'll try to get those worked in, and that's 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through. You can drop those to the text line. Also, Jennifer Boozer from Sweet Home Canabama, the radio show that's on Monday nights here at FM Talk 106.5, also the owner of Canabama, a part of the big 420 Fest going on this week in Mobile. So what's that all about? I mean, it's beyond making the easy joke. What's it all about? Because there's a political panel. This is why I paid attention to this, too, because I enjoy talking to Jennifer. But the political panel assembled here. So it's not just going to be like a party. There's a political discussion of where we are with CBD, other regulations of CBD, medical marijuana, and then, of course, this question about recreational marijuana. I'll talk at 1 o'clock with Jennifer Boozer more about that. And I saw this as we get started today, and we'll probably cycle around to talking more about the inflation situation with Congressman Brooks and with you later on in the show. But I saw an index here I thought was pretty interesting. So folks over at Axios have crunched some numbers, give credit where credit is due. They've called it their local Big Mac Index, okay? So here you go. Here's what they've done. So as we talk about inflation, beyond just gasoline, right, and diesel, we talk about what it costs, and we talked about last week, the grocery store prices, what items were up the most. But what about fast food? They got my attention here. This is pretty. I don't know if I can say novel, but interesting a way to look at this. So folks at Axios said, using Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers here and then doing interviews, I guess, or call arounds in different cities in the United States, they come up with the price of fast food is up 7.2% from a year ago. Now, if you get lunch handed to you out of a window, you're not surprised by that. You're like, it called what? How much? Well, here you go. 7.2 increase across the nation from a year ago. That's the average. The biggest jump since 1981. Okay. And here we go. Full service restaurants are up 8%. So fast food, 7.2%. Full service restaurants up 8%. So here's what they did. They said Big Mac prices have risen a whopping, oh, I get that too, 40% in the last 10 years. It's pretty significant. 40% increase in price in the last 10 years, according to the Economist's Big Mac Index, which has been measuring the price of burgers around the globe since 1986. So Axios decided to build their own local Big Mac Index, showing the price of McDonald's flagship burgers in local cities. And I guess the 14 that they're currently working in, 11 soon to come, Axios cities, they compare those prices with the local minimum wage. This is what I thought was interesting. Okay, so you have this fact that fast food is up 7.2% across the board, right? And it's up 40% in the last 10 years in the price of the Big Mac. They said they compared the local minimum wage to the price of the burger in Austin, Texas, where minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, is home to the cheapest Big Mac in the Axios, like I said, Axios local land, $3.75. So the Big Mac is $3.75. The price per the wage per hour, $7.25. In Dallas, has the same minimum wage of $7.25. The Big Mac goes for $5.69. I don't know if that's the J.R. Ewing effect or whatever, but it, I mean, almost $2 more in Dallas, even though the minimum wage is the same. Seattle. Y'all get ready. Maybe, I mean, there's probably plenty of y'all that already know this. There's people who won't admit to not knowing it. It was surprising to me. In Seattle, where the minimum wage is, anyone guess right now quickly, what's the minimum wage in Seattle? $17.27 an hour. Minimum wage in Seattle, $17.27 an hour. Imagine this has the priciest Big Mac in the survey at $6.39. Once again, we've talked about this before. When you raise wages and prices come up to meet that, does the standard of living change much? But yeah, Seattle, $17.27 an hour. The Big Mac there costs $6.39. The Big Mac in San Francisco, down the Pacific coast there to the south, minimum wage $16.32 an hour. The Big Mac sells for $5.79. And New York, where the minimum wage is $15 an hour, were you surprised? Would you have been surprised if I told you the minimum wage in New York was lower than Seattle? I might have missed that question. In New York, where the minimum wage is $15 an hour, a Big Mac can be purchased for $4.95. I'm going to watch this as we go through the inflation. What is it? The non-transitory. Isn't that what they told us is transitory inflation? I'm calling this the non-transitory inflation, and watch these prices. So we'll check in with that every couple weeks or whatever, the Big Mac Index. I thought that was interesting. Let's see here. They go on to say some inflation heightened prices may never come back to pre-pandemic level. That's another story out today. Said the low inflation status quo has been disrupted, perhaps irrevocably, by supply bottlenecks, worker shortages, and spiking prices corporate America is passing along to consumers. Because that's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do, Axios. They said what's happening before COVID, overall inflation ran comfortably at or near the Fed's target of 2% annualized, thanks in part to technology, productivity, and cheap labor. But a White House Council of Economic Advisors annual report released last week says supply chain issues will outlast the pandemic. And then they said, with climate change and other factors complicating global trade patterns for years to come. Really? So now they've worked it in here in the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Imagine that. That climate change is the reason for supply chain issues. I mean, wouldn't it be? I mean, you should make this argument. If you think climate change and, you know, sea levels are rising, right? We have climate change. That's a thing. Wouldn't it let the ships get closer to the customers if the water rises? Wouldn't it get closer to the facilities, make unloading easier? They said their follow-up here said the bottom line is a return to pre-COVID price levels seems unlikely, at least for most items in consumer baskets. So if you're thinking it's going to get back to normal at some point, at least these economic advisors don't think it will. All right, so there it is. We start off with a little inflation talk as we get the Midday Mobile started on this Monday. We'll get to Governor Ivey and Maxine Waters here in just a little bit. Also, the latest from Mariupol in Ukraine and the Russian activity, the spotting of Russian nuclear bombers, not saying they were carrying nuclear bombs, but bombers that can carry those close to the border. That got a lot of talk. But what did I get stuck on here in today's news cycle? I guess late yesterday, getting ready for the show late last night and today. And that's a story not about the violence here in Mobile. Of course, you know, in Mobile, we have double homicide in Pritchard. Somebody shot at the University Hospital parking lot. You can go over to Panama City, more shootings there. But, you know, three here in Mobile, three shootings, right, adding to this incredibly grim number of homicides in our city. But those were all, like, in, like out on the street or in a, you know, a normal place, like a hospital parking lot. They weren't in a Airbnb. Not an Airbnb on Easter, would they be? Thank you. This sets comes perfect. Cottontail. Sets the mood hopping perfectly. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Trail. All right, so have you been following this story out of Pittsburgh? So this shooting in Pittsburgh, which is not anything new either. There's plenty of shootings in Pittsburgh. But this went on at an Airbnb. And I started Googling around because I thought, man, I've heard more of these stories over the last few years of violence and bad activities going on at Airbnb. So one out of Pittsburgh, you've got this Airbnb, and I've gone and watched the video here. This is not a giant place. It looks like a duplex there in Pittsburgh. 10 people were shot in Pittsburgh's north side early Sunday morning. That'd be Easter morning, y'all. The victims, both juveniles, have died. As many as 200 people were at a party at an Airbnb rental property on Madison Avenue. Or whatever. We don't, you know, it's in Pittsburgh. I've looked at the video. This is like a 2,000 square feet at the max, 2,500. I don't think 2,500, 2,000 square foot. They had 200 people in there at an Airbnb. And then, well, then the guns came out. Now, the reason I want to check back on this, so first of all, you have the rental properties, and this has happened several places around the country where people rent these places and then gunfire breaks out at these rented properties. Here's a quote. It says, Airbnb officials, so mind you now, 200 people were at the party, two people were shot and killed there, and then you get this from Airbnb. Okay, so you ready? If you're taking notes. Quote from Airbnb officials, we share the Pittsburgh community's outrage regarding this tragic gun violence. Our hearts go out to all who were impacted, including loved ones of those who lost their lives, injured victims, and neighbors. Airbnb street, they could have stopped there. You know, sometimes, like, your kids will be trying to negotiate with you for something, and you're like, you know, if you'd have stopped 1 minute ago, you might have had a chance to go to your friend's house. Now you screwed it up. But they didn't stop with the victims and neighbors. No, it goes on to say, Airbnb strictly bans parties, and we condemn behavior that's alleged to have promoted this criminal gun violence. Airbnb goes on to say, Airbnb officials say the booking guest has been issued a lifetime ban. A lifetime ban from Airbnb, and are considering all legal options to hold the booking guest accountable. So, Airbnb says, now, two people are dead, 200 people were there, the massive violence, gunplay going on, destruction. We want them to know at Airbnb that that guest who booked it has been issued a lifetime ban from Airbnb. And I bet you they're not getting their deposit back, right? If you put a... It was just, I was reading the commentary there, and I know there's these other stories from other cities where these Airbnbs are... Verbo or whatever, I don't know if they're all through Airbnb versus one of the other booking groups, but I like the fact that they do add on here, Airbnb couldn't stop with saying their hearts go out to those who lost their lives, injured victims and neighbors. They said the booking guest has been issued a lifetime ban from Airbnb, and we're considering all legal options. Hitting hard here as Easter violence breaks out in Pittsburgh and elsewhere around the nation. All right, coming back, Governor Ivey, with the least surprising story ever, has been attacked by Maxine Waters. Yeah, she's loving that attack. Maxine Waters, if you have time, you can attack me as well. I'll take it. Talk about that when we come back, and also some news from Ukraine. All straight ahead right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1225, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, Congressman Bo Brooks, running for U.S. Senate, is going to join us. And got some questions already coming in for him. We'll get those asked. Speaking of questions, I got questions of this man, my friend David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. What you got in SUVs?
Got just had a Toyota Sequoia come in. We've got a Lexus GX. We've got Yukons, Tahoes, and all kinds of small SUVs. We've also got a 17 Ram 1500 half ton with 54,000 miles. It's a big one package. Something everybody needs to come look at if they're interested.
You know, that's the thing you've done over time as well. Not just getting the truck we're looking for, the SUV we're looking for, the packages that people love. You know, the ones that are outfitted to the nines.
This Bighorn's got, like, we call it a baseball glove interior. It's the real thick, good-looking leather with the heavy stitching, and it's beautiful.
All right, let's talk about financing. That's the thing that's coming up all over. People are talking about, how's it looking at LCM?
Our financing is still rolling just like it always has. We've got great rates for the customers that have perfect credit, and we've got a way to get the people that don't have perfect credit a decent interest rate and make them happy.
Very good. Give us directions to come see the inventory and talk financing.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore, lcmmotorcars.com, or give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Let's see here. Some thank you, David, for the Peter Cottontail getting run over meme. That's good. Makes children cry when you do that. Tim says, Sean, building prices are skyrocketing. As you know, tin was over double what it was before the pandemic. Yeah, it's and I wonder how you watch the amount of building going on right now, right? It's always kind of delayed from the demand. But with interest rates going up, you know, with the Fed at least four times this year, they're going to raise. With that, at the same time, the actual building supplies, if you can get them, going up, does that... In a way, is that going to be somewhat of a governor, not a Governor Ivey, but a governor on some, at least that sector for inflation? Because eventually if you can't sell the board for that or the tin for that or the PVC for that, and it sits there long enough, prices will come down. Speaking of Governor Ivey, all right, and governors, I wrote this note to myself. I said, no big surprise to anyone over 10 years old that the left went after Governor Ivey's ad. Remember, I said it last week. I said, the No Way Jose ad, where on premise, I agree with the governor. Illegal immigration is a big deal. Open southern border is a big deal. As I lay my head down at night, the biggest fear over it is not a outbreak of having to speak Spanish through the state of Alabama, which I think wouldn't be a horrible thing if we were all more bilingual. But maybe it's drugs and human trafficking and no rule of law on the southern border. But the governor went to the low-hanging fruit and said, well, you're going to have to be speaking Spanish. Well, the second I heard the ad, I said, well, it's going to work for the governor because it's going to be attacked from the left. And so it was. You heard Jeff talk about it earlier on his show. They said in news, this is a Sunday show they had on there with Maxine Waters and the panel there. It's called The Sunday Show, I think. Okay, The Sunday Show on MSNBC. You had Maxine Waters and the show host, that K-Part guy, and some other person on there going off on Governor Ivey, calling her racist for the ad where, you know, she says, no way, Jose. And I agree with the governor's office that has responded. You heard Jeff talk about this and others for the in-kind contribution. It's the best thing that could happen. If you're running as a Republican in Alabama and Maxine Waters attacks you, it's a good thing. Just no one feigned that they're surprised that it went this way, that the ad went out, then it gets put in national media, and then you get the reaction from the left, and then what you can do if you're Governor Ivey is take that reaction from the left and Maxine Waters saying whatever she had to say and then use it in another ad. But don't anybody act surprised that this happened. Once again, Governor Ivey, biggest fears for illegal immigration to me is not a breakout of bilingualism in our state. I got other fears. I'm with you. It's just not the Spanish-speaking part of it. All right. News is next. Then Mo Brooks.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. Reminder, too, you can also get in touch those ways and get an additional way when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app that's free and waiting for you over at the App Store or at Google Play. You just look for FM TALK 1065 at your app get in place. It's free, download it. But it's got a, when you open it, and you've downloaded it and you open it, there's a microphone icon on the front of the screen. You can press that, record a message, and it emails it to us here at the station. We can play it back on the air, so check that out as well. All right, welcome back onto the radio. And a conversation here in the, I don't know, I mean, would we consider this, Congressman, the waning days? I mean, it's not long till May 24th in this Senate race.
36 days.
See, I always know I don't have to count them myself because folks running for office are counting them down every day. All right, strategy here. And, you know, you have these the last days here. We're looking at May 24th. Polls out there, and I can get your commentary on the polls that are out there, but have you in third position. What are y'all saying in the campaign? What do you have planned for these next days to turn this around?
Well, our task is pretty simple. We have to combat the deception and beat it with truth, and if we do that, we'll be just fine. You've basically got three candidates. I suggest everybody follow the money. If you follow the money, then it will confirm what I'm about to say. You've got a Lincoln Project left-winger by the name of Mike Durant. He was recruited by these left-wingers who have publicly said that the ideal candidate they want to get behind is the Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney types. And you may know them well because about 10 days ago, they were the three Republicans who voted to put on to the United States Supreme Court a radical justice, voting against all our other Republicans. So that's Mike Durant. If that's the kind of Republican you want, then he should be your vote. Then you've got Katie Britt. She is what I would call the special interest group candidate, particularly special interest groups that want open borders and cheap foreign labor. Look at her disclosure forms. You will see openly virtually every special interest group that supports open borders and cheap foreign labor. They're supporting Katie Britt. They're all in with her. She's also the Mitch McConnell candidate, the establishment wing of the party. So if that's your preference, special interest groups, establishment, open borders, cheap foreign labor, Mitch McConnell, then she's the one that you should vote for. And I am the principled conservative who's not wed to these special interest groups that, unfortunately, by definition, they put their special interest before that of the American people. Now, it's a challenge, no question. The Lincoln Project candidate, Mike Durant, he was enticed into the race with $15 million from these left-wing organizations. That's how much they've publicly committed to spend on his behalf. We'll see what the final number is once we get to the end of the race. And then you've got these special interest groups that want open borders and cheap foreign labor. They hate me because I oppose them, and I have an A-plus grade, according to Numbers USA, on border security every single year I've been in the United States Congress. You can't get higher than that. So, of course, they're going to oppose me because they stand to profit from open borders and from cheap foreign labor. At the same time that they oppose me, what's most notable is that they chose Katie Britt, out of the six candidates, as being the one who is the weakest on border security and cheap foreign labor. So everyone is hearing my voice. I've said a bunch of things. They might sound like the kind of things that candidates normally say, but if you do your own homework, go to the sources that I've mentioned, you'll confirm that everything I just said is accurate and the truth.
Congressman, people will ask this. You talked about where they're weak and talking about your opponents in this race, but neither of them have been elected before and have taken these votes, and you're saying that, you know, that they're weak on this or that, but they don't have a voting record to for you to compare to. So how do you know that's how they'd vote?
Because of where the money is coming from. These entities that are spending millions and millions of dollars to try to influence public opinion in the state of Alabama, they do their homework. And I can promise you that they do not invest many, many, many millions of dollars on people who are not going to do what those special interest groups want done with respect to Katie Britt or what the liberal groups want done that are helping Mike Durant. Now, you're right. None of them have a record. So time will tell for sure whether they have the strength to buck the people who got them in. But historically speaking, it's a very, very high probability that if you follow the money, you'll find out what a candidate's going to do, because those special interest groups, they have thoroughly vetted all the different candidates to make sure they get what they want.
But we're talking about issues here that aren't nuanced. We talk about border security, for example. How could anybody in our state be elected Senate and be soft and not support border security and expect to see another term in the Senate? I don't know. I mean, seems like Alabamians would not, if that did happen, would never vote for that person when they went for re-election.
You have to understand what is meant by the phrase border security. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. These folks who are claiming that they are for border security, they will say that while at the same time saying that they want to let all these illegal aliens in legally. So you can have border security and let millions of cheap foreign laborers come into our country legally, and that is what does the damage to Americans and their families who are struggling to make ends meet. That's what depresses their wages. That is what costs them their jobs. And if you look at the past statements of both Katie Britt and Mike Durant, I believe that you will find, and Katie Britt's team is sending out a video of Mike Durant just as a confirmation, where he talks about bringing in all these people legally. Well, the damage is done by the artificial surge in the labor supply. That's what makes it harder for Americans to make ends meet. And it doesn't make a whole lot of difference whether they're legal or illegal. It's the cheap foreign labor aspect of it that has a dramatic adverse effect on the incomes of American households. And I should emphasize that the people who bring in these cheap foreign laborers, they don't keep track of them. They don't make sure that they all go back home. And roughly half of the illegal aliens in America are estimated to come from the pool of people who came in lawfully. Then when their visas expired, they did not leave, thus immediately becoming or transmorphing into an illegal alien. So not all of our illegal aliens come from having illegally crossed the border. A sizable percentage also comes from a body of people who came in lawfully, but then does not leave when they're committed to leave.
How do you deal with that? Those people that are already here, I mean, that do that, that overstay. What are we not doing? What could we do to get those people out of the country until they get their status correct?
Well, it's very, very simple. You deport them if they're here illegally. Keep in mind that we have far and away the most generous legal immigration system on the planet. The highest honor that a country can give to a foreign-born individual is citizenship. We give far and away more citizenships each year to people who come into our country lawfully with our permission, and we almost give as many citizenships away as every other nation on earth put together. So we've got a very generous legal system. The problem is when you adversely affect the labor markets by importing, legally or illegally, huge sums of what I hope are temporary workers, but unfortunately, they often turn into permanency. And as evidenced by the legislation that passed the House last year, there is a strong political move put by the Democrats to give them amnesty and citizenship. And think about that. 6+ million illegal aliens getting amnesty, being put on a path to citizenship. How do you think that's going to affect the long-term political outlook of America when those folks start voting in overwhelming numbers for socialist Democrats? That's the political impact long-term of what's transpiring, and that is one of the reasons why Joe Biden is hell-bent on letting as many in as possible.
Let's stay with the same book, maybe different chapters. We talk about that, and inflation, obviously, a huge story right now. Highest rates since 1981. Americans are dealing with that. What about inflationary pressures on wages compared to, you know, if let's say that immediately, and I support people being here legally. I don't want people who overstayed or came, you know, across illegally to be here.
Well, do you have a number?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is,
bring in legally.
Well, I, No, I'm saying,
million,
what does it mean?
Million, 30 million, 100 million?
No.
You want to come. What's the limitation?
No, I'm not putting a cap on that. I'm just saying the inflationary pressure, somebody will argue, because I actually agree with you, but for the sake of discussion, the inflationary pressure of not having these low-paid, underpaid, illegal workers in our system, what would it mean, you know, when we're already looking at this 8% jump here in inflation? I mean, if you...
Well, are you talking about the impact on the labor markets?
Yes.
And the prices for those wages?
Yes.
The solution is for the federal government to quit paying so many people not to work. The solution is not to import foreign workers, many of whom will eventually be illegal aliens, particularly since illegal aliens are a net tax loss to taxpayers in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $9,000 per year per illegal alien.
Now, where do we go next on this inflationary situation? You and I probably spent a lot of our early years talking fiscal. That's probably all we talked about. So I'm fascinated to hear how we get this tamped down without putting us into a recession for sure. Is there a way, or is that coming?
Sure, there's a way, but what you need is for the American voters to become smart enough to figure out which candidates for Congress, the presidency, the Senate will actually do what needs doing. This inflationary pressure is very unlike the one that we saw in the 1970s. The one we had in the 1970s, to a large degree, was a subsequent effect of OPEC and the oil embargo and skyrocketing energy prices. This one is self-inflicted. You've got Joe Biden attacking energy production, which decreases the supply, which increases the price. And you've seen skyrocketing prices for barrels of oil. Then you've got this administration, and for that matter, the prior administration, embarking on policies of paying people not to work. Now, that interrupts the supply chain, decreases what's produced, which means that the price for what is available goes up. And then finally, you've got huge deficits that devalue the currency as we borrow more and more money. And you've seen that under the Trump administration with a $3 trillion deficit. Then you saw 1 year that had Trump at the beginning and Biden subsequent to that. That was another roughly $3 trillion deficit. And then you've got the Biden administration, solely the Democrats in the House and the Senate, giving us what's probably going to be about a $1.5 to $2 trillion deficit. You can't borrow that kind of money, $7-8 trillion over just a mere 3 year period of time without having serious adverse effects on the value of the dollar.
You believe that former President Trump's spending was as much a part of this as where we are now with current President Biden?
Well, you have to look at each administration and each year. In fairness to President Trump and in fairness to all of us who are Republicans that are financially responsible, the blame lies with our debt junkie Republicans, and we've got a lot of them. And they know how to spend money just as badly as the socialist Democrats do. And we've got debt junkie Republicans who refuse to look at the short-term or long-term impact of these huge deficits and debt. And they're very adept at blaming others. But those three policy problems that I just enunciated, they all originate in Washington, D.C. They're all fixable if the American people will simply send to Washington, D.C., folks who will do the right thing. That's the challenge for American voters, is to figure it out. And it's a hard challenge because you've got these special interest groups in particular that love to feed off of that deficit and debt, and they invest millions upon millions, tens of millions of dollars around the country trying to get folks who will be financially responsible, because a lot of that money is going to those special interest groups.
So talking with A.L. Fines, Congressman, candidate for Senate, Bo Brooks. This last one here before I want to pivot. The idea, if something came in front of you in the House where you could remove, and I know executive action versus legislation, but you could remove the tariffs on China, okay, that were put in by President Trump. If you could do that and alleviate inflation or cost to American people, which would you choose, keeping the tariffs in place against China and other countries out there, or eliminating them or reducing them to bring down costs?
I would do the exact opposite. We have a trade deficit with China that's in the neighborhood of $300-500 billion per year that is wealth hemorrhaging out of the United States of America, that is being used by the Communist Chinese Party to continue their dictatorship and also to expand their military prowess, thus threatening stability in the South China Sea and also Taiwan. So, in my judgment, we need to dramatically increase tariffs on Chinese-made products, in part because no American company can compete against slave labor, which is predominantly what the Communist Party does in Communist China. And then whatever money comes in from those tariffs need to be offset by tax cuts in other areas so that it's revenue neutral and you're not actually increasing in a net form. You're not actually net increasing taxes on American citizens. China is a geopolitical foe, and we need to wake up and we need to treat them accordingly before it's too late.
Congressman,
they're much worse than Russia.
Congressman, one quick question here at the end then on Russia. If Russia is successful, and that's not a given now, but if they are successful in taking Ukraine, do you think Putin stops there? Or is like a Moldova, another non-NATO country that doesn't kick in Article 5 protection, a next target? Do you have any feeling there, your discussions in Washington?
Certainly Putin would attack these other nations, whether it be Sweden, Finland, Moldova, or any number of other nations, if they believe that they can get away with it. Now, how you balance that out on what they're in their minds going to do or not do, I cannot answer that question. But we also need to take into account that there's a big risk associated with China that may be a follow-through on what happens in Ukraine. If China believes that the free world is not going to protect other nations from the aggression of a Russia or a communist China, then that's going to encourage China to attack Taiwan like they have been threatening to do for many, many decades.
Congressman Mo Brooks, people want to get more information about your Senate campaign. Where do they go?
MoBrooks.com.
All right, and 36 days left, so we'll have a chance to get you back on here before Election Day, so we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sean. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. There he is, Mo Brooks, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5. And that app, you got a second. You're eating your sandwich or whatever. Go download the FM Talk 106.5 app. I think you'll like it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:57, FM Talk 106.5. A couple minutes before the news here, and then Jennifer Booser from Canabama, Sweet Home Canabama radio show, is going to join me in hour number two of the show. You know, it's interesting, too, to look at the text line after we have conversations with Mo Brooks, and you get... I mean, you just get it is it, so many people are absolutely the concrete's dry either way. What I don't see for Congressman Brooks, candidate for U.S. Senate, is I don't see the undecideds like maybe I see on some of the other candidates. Either it's somebody who is absolutely does not like Mo Brooks and has everything to say about him, but other than calling him a child of God, to people who say he's great and we need more of him. Is there anyone out there? That's the interesting one to be. Is there any that's they're undecided on a Mo Brooks? Because it seems like just from the very unscientific poll of the text line at 343-0106, people are absolutely locked in to their beliefs one way or another, and not even trying to make a decision. Just saying they're either rallying and saying yeah, 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 or I can't stand to hear this person, or you know, so just no in between. Also, I just saw this pop up. If we have time in a little bit, Supreme Court is, the headline here says, SCOTUS swats away salt cap challenge that limits tax deductions in New York and Maryland. Remember we talked about this? What benefited these states that have high state tax and they limited their federal exposure? Supreme Court says they're not going to hear this case. That's worth talking about, too. We'll get to that next hour.